Well, good morning and welcome everyone to this worship service. Welcome those in the through in the church building and those of you who are here in the church hall and others who will be listening later on at home. The announcements that I have are as follows. The evening service is due to take place here tonight at 7:30, and today's services should be uploaded to the church website. And copies of CDs made and distributed probably at some stage tomorrow. There's no midweek meeting this week, and I've been on holidays away the last three Sabbath days. I tried to get four in a row, but I wasn't able to do that, able to manage that. So I'm taking the service here today, and I've been working the last few days, but I'm off now for a week. And then next Lord's Day, the services, morning and evening, are due to be led by Mr. Stephen Fallows from our Gateway congregation. Stephen is Graham's son, Graham that took the services here in July. And Stephen did short-term service in Galway, and he did some preaching while he was in Galway. And so he's due to take our services next Lord's Day at 12 noon. And 7:30. There is an announcement sheet that I've done for the month of August. I'm due to be here on the 15th of August. I'm back to work on the 9th, Monday the 9th. And then I'm preaching here on the 15th. On the 22nd, I was booked to preach in Newtownards RP Church, so I'll be away that day. And the visiting preacher is due to be Mr. Brian Dunwoody, an elder in our Limavady congregation. And then the final Sabbath day of the month, I'm due to be here for the services. We had hoped that it would be possible to have a church picnic that day if the weather was suitable and if regulations allowed. And we'll see near the time, probably on the 22nd, a decision can be made based on the forecast as to how things are looking for a week further ahead. Now, there's a couple of announcements in regard to gift aid, and I'll read these announcements, but they are on the back of the announcement sheet. So if you need these details, if you need to hear this again or read this again, that's where you'll find them. So the first announcement says that if anyone has signed a gift aid form in the past, but has paid no tax to HMRC in the tax year that ended at the end of March, you're asked to let Margaret Knox know as soon as possible. Now, if you have paid less tax than usual, as long as the tax is more than 20% of what your free will offering is to the church for the year, then that is okay, but if that's not the case, then it's not okay. So you need to speak to Margaret. And then, secondly, if anyone has not used gift aid in the past and wants to start making use of the gift aid scheme, and to do that you have to be a taxpayer, and if you were a taxpayer in the tax year that ended at the end of March, then please speak to Audrey for a gift aid form, because gift aid can be claimed on the year that's finished, not just for the present tax year that we're in. And then it says that if completing a new form, please date the form before the 31st of March 2021. If a date is required on the form, so you wouldn't put today's date on, you would put a date sometime in before the end of March 2021. So those are two announcements regarding gift aid, and you can read those on the announcement sheet. And then also, the other announcement on the sheet is in regard to the Stranraer Go Team. There haven't been many Go Teams this year because of COVID, but Stranraer are planning to have three nights of special services in the middle of September. I think it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And they're hoping to have a Go Team from Saturday the 11th to Saturday the 18th of September. And that team will be to give out invitations in the town for those meetings. Those who would go would be there for the meetings as well. And there would also be some youth work and some practical work involved in the Go team. It's the 11th to the 18th of September. The information is on the church, the denominational website, and it's also available on Facebook and Instagram pages for Go teams. Those are the announcements that that I have. And having given those announcements, we'll come now to the worship of God. And let us join now in worshiping God, and we come to God in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Lord, our Father in heaven, we praise you that we can come to bring you our worship on this, the first day, and the first Lord's Day of a new month. We give thanks for the month of July, and we praise you, Lord, for all your goodness to us throughout that month. We thank you, O Lord, for the sunny days and the warm days that you sent. And we thank you also for the rain that you have sent. And Lord, we praise you that you have been working according to your plans made far in advance. We thank you that the things that take place in our world are not haphazard things, but that they are a part of your great plan. And we rejoice that today we come to worship you, the sovereign God, the God who determines what will take place. And you're the one who has given us life, and you've chosen that we would live at the particular time that we do live at. And you've determined the places where we are in life, the people that we mix with in life, and all the details of our lives. And we know, God, that you are far wiser than we are, and we humble ourselves before you, and we come to worship you today. We thank you that we can look to you as the God who saves sinners, the God who is building your family, adding to that family from those that you save from day to day and week to week. And we pray that today, O Lord, that you'll be bringing others into your family, that you'll be changing people's hearts, that you'll be turning their hearts towards yourself, and, Lord, adopting them as your own children and treating them as such. We ask for your forgiveness for our sins. We pray that you'll be pleased to speak to us in the scriptures that we read and consider today. And, Lord, we pray for that working of God the Holy Spirit among us for your own glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us read together from God's Word. We turn today in the Scriptures to the New Testament and to Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians, I want to read mostly in chapter 3 and also just into the beginning of chapter 4. The page number in our church Bible is 1044. Philippians chapter 3, and I want to read from verse 3 of this chapter and through to verse 1 of chapter 4. So Philippians 3 at verse 3. This is God's word. For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. And we end our scripture reading there at that verse in God's word. Now, I'll just say a few words to the children. I've been away on holidays, and you've had other people taking the services here the last three Lord's days. And this year on our holidays, we were in various parts of England and also in Scotland. And we were staying, apart from one night in a boat, we were staying in six different places during the course of our holidays. And one of the things that I remember most from the holiday that we had this year is something where our plans didn't work out. And this was on a Saturday morning, and we'd had a week near the coast in Norfolk, over in the east of England, and we had to get packed up early on the Saturday morning. And whenever we left to go on our holidays, there were four of us, and then we picked up our son Stuart on the way, and that was an extra body and an extra suitcase and an extra rucksack. And then Stuart decided he would buy Ross an inflatable kayak for his his birthday, and there was a challenge of getting all those things into the car that seemed to be already full whenever we had left our house in Ballymoney. But somehow or other managed to get everything in on the Saturday morning and got away on time. And on that morning, we had a deadline. We didn't usually have deadlines on our holidays, but that day we did, because we had to get Ross to Stansted Airport because he was flying home to be there for his work on Monday morning. And the information we had over the phone indicated that it would be about a two-hour journey to Stansted, and I knew the first 15 minutes would be fairly slow because it was country roads, but then it was motorway or dual carriageway all the way. And the first 15 minutes went fine. We got onto the motorway. The motorway was fine. There wasn't any problem with roadworks at all. We got to about 12 miles, I would guess, from Stansted Airport, and then across the motorway and the big signs you have over the top, there was 50 mile an hour signs. I thought, well, there must be some minor roadworks up ahead and we're going to be slowed down a wee bit. But that wasn't the case, because we got to 9 miles from the airport and the car came to a halt, and all in front of us, as far as we could see, there was traffic at a standstill. And that traffic didn't move again for 4 hours. And this was the day that it really warmed up. And it was over 30 degrees by the afternoon that day, and we would have been on time for Ross getting his flight, but because we got stuck in that traffic, he missed that flight. But all the way along the road, we were on schedule. We were on time. We were ahead of schedule. There was no panic. There was no rush. Now, Ross did manage to book another flight for the afternoon, but we were still stuck in the same place. And then he was able to take one of the bikes off the back of the car, go backwards up the motorway, into a field, down a bank, onto a side road, and cycle 6 miles to Stansted Airport, chain his bicycle up at the airport, and hope that we would be able to get there eventually to pick it up. And we were. He got there in time, and we got there eventually, and that was the way it worked out. There were lots of other people who were stuck there on the motorway, and people were heading off to Mallorca on their holidays, and they just weren't going to make it. And there have been so many different stories. Sadly, it was a case where there had been a fatal accident. A small car transporter had overturned, and the driver of the vehicle was killed in the accident. They closed the other side of the motorway for a helicopter to come and land, and the paramedics treated him at the scene, but he died. But that road, that was 10:30 in the morning we were there, and that road didn't open until 8 o'clock that night. Thankfully, we got turned around about 2:30. And headed the wrong way up the hard shoulder in the motorway, and were able to get going. But all the way along that morning, I thought, this is great. We're in plenty of time. We're going to get there. But we didn't. We didn't make it. And in the Christian life, it can be the same kind of thing. There can be people who can seem to be doing really well as Christians, and then suddenly it just all comes to a complete standstill, and they're just not going anywhere at all. And that's not a good thing. And in the Bible, we're warned about that. We're warned about how we need to keep on moving, to keep on going forward. And today, from some verses in Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to be talking about how we need to keep going. You can only reach your destination if you keep going. If you go so far and then you stop, well, you haven't got there. And as a Christian, we have to keep on following the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes it can be very hard to follow Jesus. But God is able to give us what we need to keep on going and to make sure that we don't get stuck before we come to the finish. Now, I'll be saying more about that as we look to God's word shortly. Now, we come to God in prayer, and as we come to God in prayer today, be remembering Philip and Rebecca, whose wedding is coming up. It's now this month. Rebecca can say that she's getting married, 18th of August, not too far away. And then also give thanks for recent engagement of Claire and Darren. They're hoping to get married in the springtime of next year. So give thanks to God for this good news. Now, these next few days, this would have been the week that our discovery camps and adventure camps would have been meeting. They aren't having any residential camps, but for these four camps, they are having something on over the next 5 days. And there are, with some of the camps, they're meeting up on a particular day and doing things online other days. Or it might be meeting up on 2 days or even three days that they're meeting up. So we remember in prayer all the work of our camps, and those in our congregation who are serving as officers on the camp team in these unusual arrangements for this year, and also young folk who can be involved as the campers. Well, we come to God now in our prayers, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father, we return thanks to you today for the return of the Lord's Day. And we thank you, O God, for this weekly blessing that we have. We praise you, O God, that you in your wisdom knew that it was good for us to have this. We thank you, Lord, for the worship gatherings here in recent weeks. We thank you for the men who came to lead the worship services, and we pray for those men as they do the same in other places, and for other men who are filling in pulpits during the summer months. We pray, Lord, for your help for such. Pray, O Lord, for those congregations that don't have a minister of their own. We remember our Western Presbytery congregations of Brady and Stranorler, and we pray for them in their ongoing time of vacancy, and we pray for wisdom as they the future, as they think of their options. We do give thanks for the prospect of three men becoming available at the start of next year. Lord, for those congregations as they think of what would be best in their circumstances. We praise you, Lord, for the work of the church camps. We thank you for senior camp last month and for all that was possible there. We pray that you'll continue to use the things that were taught there to benefit those who participated. And we pray for the discovery camps and adventure camps this week. And we pray, Lord, for the days when there are camp talks being delivered online, and we pray that that will all work out well, that the young folk will be able to hear and understand the things that are being taught. We pray for the days when people will be gathering up, and for parents as they be traveling to different places where the meet-up days are. We pray for safekeeping in those journeys, and we pray that the young folk will really enjoy meeting together and the different activities that they'll be involved in their mostly outdoor activities. We pray that the weather will be suitable for the times when those will be taking place. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon these efforts, and we do pray that next year the residential camps will be able to return, and that will be a cause for great rejoicing and thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for the wedding that's coming up in a couple of weeks' time now. We the time that they have between now and then, help them in the different jobs that they'll be doing. We pray that you help them as they finish up in their work prior to the break for their wedding, that they'll be able to do that, and that you will help them in the busyness of this present time. We praise you, Lord, for the marriage that is due to take place, and we pray for your blessing upon them, O Lord. Each day, may each day be a special day that they can rejoice in and know that you're with them throughout these days. We give thanks also for the engagement of Darren and Claire. We pray for them as they look to the future and as they seek to make plans. We pray, O God, that you would give them help and wisdom. And Lord, we rejoice in your goodness in all of this. We pray, O Lord, for those in our congregation who are not well, those not able to be among us. We pray for your mercies towards them. We ask, Lord, for your strengthening and for your healing. We pray for Raymond as he awaits surgery. We pray that this will be able to go ahead. And we ask, Lord, that you'll be with him as he has an appointment in a few days' time in Belfast. We pray that he will be told clearly what the situation is. And we pray that you would cause any obstacles to be overcome. We pray that this surgery could be done and that it will be a great success. And we pray for Raymond and Ellen and pray that you will provide for them in these days of waiting to see exactly how things are going to work out. We pray, O Lord, for the witness of Let Them Live. We pray for the witness to people at abortion clinics, and we give thanks, O Lord, for different people who have taken literature and who have had the opportunity to hear something of the alternative that there is to pursuing abortion. We pray, Lord, that you would use this for good. We thank you for efforts that are being made to avoid the introduction of further abortion procedures within our land. And Lord, we pray that you would grant success in that the wishes of those who are happy to see these facilities being provided, that they would not just automatically get their way. And we pray, O God, that you would be pleased to intervene and that many lives might be saved. We pray for the land of Japan in these days when the Olympic Games are taking place. We thank you, Lord, for those in that land who are Christians. We pray for believers in Japan. We pray that you will help them, O Lord, as they will be conscious of being a very small minority in that country. And we pray that you will bless their witness. We pray that they will be able to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, to not be giving in to pressures, to conform to being like everyone else in Japan. We pray for those who follow false religion there, that they would see that the things that they hold to really are not the truth. And Lord, we pray for any Christian witness that has been possible during the time of the Olympic Games, and we pray that there will be people that will be saved as a result of that. And we pray for the Reformed Presbyterian congregations in Japan. We pray that you will strengthen the hearts of your people there. We pray that you will give them wisdom as they look to the future, that you will continue to raise men up to train for ministry, and we pray that there will be new opportunities and that you will build your church there in that part of the world. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray that you will speak to us through your word and that you would do your good work among us today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now we turn to God's word today as we read it in Philippians chapter 3. In verse 11, Paul speaks of his desire that he may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And then in verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, But he says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'll be speaking a bit about those verses from 12 to 14. A few days ago, we returned from holidaying in England and Scotland. And the places that we stayed in our holidays in England were all places that I'd never been to before. We were in Shropshire, we were in Norfolk, we were in the city of Cambridge, and we were in Lincolnshire. And then from England, we headed up to Scotland. North of the border, I got to be in two places that were familiar to me. And those places were Edinburgh, where I had attended university, and Wishaw, where I had served as a minister. We had three nights in Edinburgh. And it's 35 years, I calculated, since I finished my studies in Edinburgh. And one of the things that we did when we were in Edinburgh was to walk the routes that I would have walked when I was at university, going from where I lived to my classes, going from one part of the city where my classes were to another part, or the route that I would have walked when I was going to church. And then we also walked around some of the famous landmarks in the city of Edinburgh. And I was struck by how there were some things that looked just exactly the same as I remembered them from when I was living in Edinburgh. The castle looked just the same. 35 years didn't seem to have made any difference to the castle. The various monuments about the place looked the same. Holyrood Palace looked just the same. And the big hill that's in Edinburgh called Arthur's Seat, it looked just the same as I remembered it looking. But then on the other hand, I was struck by how much had changed since I had lived in that city. And the route that I had to walk from where I lived to where my first classes of the day would normally be was about a mile long. And as I walked that route and went past all the different shops and businesses and banks and things like that would have been on that route, there wasn't a single one that I could remember from 35 years ago. Everything had changed. A shop had become a different kind of shop, or it had become something other than a shop, and there was nothing that I could say, well, this is where I used to go in and get my milk on the way home, or anything like that. Everything had changed hands or changed use in one way or another. And so I was able to go back to Edinburgh, but I wasn't able to go back to the Edinburgh as I knew it. Now, in the verses that I've just looked at and read in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, the Apostle Paul is teaching us that in the Christian life, we cannot live in the past. We need to keep pressing on. Things are changing, and we need to be people who are changing. So I'm going to speak today about pressing on. And Paul mentions this in verse 12. He is saying in this verse that he doesn't see himself as being someone who is the finished article, the perfect Christian. He's not a man who has nothing to learn or no progress to make. He is a work in progress. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Paul describes himself as being a man whom Christ Jesus has laid hold of. And when Jesus laid hold of Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road, that was the end of the life of Saul of Tarsus, the end of the life that he had been living. And a totally new life began. And Paul didn't instantly become everything that he would be. His life was turned around on that day. But he still had a great deal to learn. And he had many things that he would discover in life where he would need to change. And Paul says, that's where I am. I'm still someone who needs to press on in the Christian life. I haven't reached the goal. Paul was a man, and he had been on the wrong road. He had been heading in the wrong direction. He thought he was doing the right thing, but he wasn't. He thought he was going the right way, but he wasn't. But Jesus had laid hold on him. And Jesus had reached down, and he had plucked him up, and he had set him on the right road. But Paul needed to travel along that right road. It's always a good thing to be on the right road. But if you're not moving anywhere on the right road, it's not really of any value. You have to move along the road to get to your destination. And so Paul is saying here in verse 12 that he hasn't yet become all that he will be. But he says, I press on. And that's what the Christian life is. It's a life in which we have to press on. If you don't press, you're not going to get anywhere. I was cutting my grass yesterday afternoon. Strange looking grass it was. There was yellow stuff and there was luscious green stuff. And how you can have that difference between a patch of grass here and one so close to it, I do not understand. But in my lawnmower, you have to hold a wee little metal bar that's under the handle. You have to hold it. If you don't hold it, if you don't keep pressing, the lawnmower doesn't do anything. And in the Christian life, you have to press on. You're not going to get anywhere by virtue of what you've done in the past or momentum. You have to press on, deliberately press on in following Jesus. And Paul is writing about this pressing on in these verses. And in verse 13, he speaks about something that is necessary in pressing on, and that is forgetting what is behind. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And Paul is teaching us here that an important thing for him in pressing on in the Christian life was forgetting those things which are behind. This was something very necessary in the life of Paul, and it is also necessary for anyone who is a Christian. Christians need to forget those things which are behind. And we need to do that both in terms of the bad things that are behind and in terms of the good things that are behind. And Paul needed to forget the bad things that were behind for him. Paul had been an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been an enemy of the gospel. He had been a fanatical persecutor of Christians. He had been responsible for the deaths of some and responsible for the impoverishment of many. And Paul had to live with that. He had done that. He was to blame. He was responsible. And if he had allowed his mind to dwell upon all those different faces that probably could come into his mind, how could he ever serve as an apostle of Jesus Christ? How could he do anything for Christ after what he had done against Christ and his people? And so Paul had to forget those things that were behind. And so it is for everyone who today is following the Lord Jesus. For everyone who can say that Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. If Christ has laid hold of us, if he has taken us out of ourselves and out of our old life and given us new life, well then we have to forget the things that are behind. Every single Christian alive today has a horrible record of past disobedience, rebellion, and iniquity. We all have much that we are ashamed of. And in order to press on in the Christian faith, we have to forget those things which are behind. The devil will want us to remember those things which are behind. He will want to remind us of the havoc we have caused in our own lives and in other people's lives. And we have to forget those things. We have to believe that in Christ we truly are forgiven all of our sins, that God will never remember those sins against us. Jesus Christ has dealt with our past. And that is one of the wonderful things of the Christian life. We all have so much in our past that is shameful, and Jesus has dealt with our past, and he has set us free, and we don't have to live in the past and try to correct every problem that we have caused. Jesus has dealt with it, and now he wants us to press on instead. And that's what Paul had to do. He had to press on. And in doing that, he needed to forget those things which were behind. Forget all the evil that he had done. He also needed to forget the good things which were behind. And every Christian needs to forget the good things that lie behind us. Paul couldn't allow himself to trust and what he had already done in following the Lord Jesus. He needed to press on into new obedience. Paul couldn't trust in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ himself had appeared to him on that Damascus road. He couldn't trust in any past experience. He needed to be pressing on in the present. James Boyce puts it like this. He says, if your Christian testimony is entirely taken up with what God did for you 30 or 40 years ago, or if you're constantly talking about the good old days when God's blessing on your life seemed great, then you are looking to the past. You can never do that and move forward. If you're going to press on, then you have to forget the glory days of the past. Forget the spiritual highs. Forget the things that you have accomplished. The great things of the past will not be of any benefit if we are not pressing on in the here and now. See, it's always how we're doing now that's important. That's what really matters. And so let's not trust in what we might have done in the past that was good. Are we pressing on now? Are you going to press on Are you going to make sure that you're pressing? Or are you just going to look back to the past? One of the events at the Olympics that I saw late one night when I was on holidays was the women's triathlon. And a British competitor, Georgia Taylor Brown, was doing well in the swimming that comes first in the triathlon. Another British girl was doing even better. She was the first one out of the water. Georgia Taylor Brown was only a few seconds behind, and she was able to catch up those few seconds in the second stage of the triathlon, which was a 40 kilometers bike ride. And they did various laps, and by the time they were in the last lap, there was a group of five that were out in the lead, and it looked very much like the medals would be decided between these five competitors. And Georgia Brown got a flat tire 2 kilometers from the end of the cycling stage. And when you get a flat tire, you cannot function as you would normally function. And so she knew she had a flat tire. There was no possibility of getting that tire changed or anything like that. The only hope she had was to keep going and hope that the bike she was on would stay in one piece without having an inflated tire, so she would get to the stage where they deposit their bikes and then they head off on a 10-kilometer run. And she could see the other four drawing away from her. She couldn't go at the speed they could go at. And whenever she came to any kind of sharp bend, she had to really slow down so that the tire didn't completely come off the wheel. And so the gap got bigger and bigger, and her chances of winning any kind of medal were getting smaller and smaller. But she pressed on, she stayed on the bike, she kept going, and she made it into the transition stage where you get off your bike, you deposit your helmet in your basket, and you get out of the footwear that you're in the bike, and you put your running shoes on. And the others, the leaders were there, they were already way down the road into their 10-kilometer run. But she set off after them, and within a few minutes, she had caught up on the British girl who had been in the lead and was in fourth place. And she overtook her. She was in fourth. And then a few minutes beyond that, she caught up on a German girl who was in third place. And then there was an American who was further ahead, and she was in second place. And little by little, she kept going in the running, and she caught up on the American. And then she overtook the American. Now, the person who was in the lead was better than everybody else. Nobody was going to catch her. There was no way that was possible to catch her. But she hung in there and she pressed on, and she forgot about what happened on the bicycle, and she just dealt with the way things were in the present. She didn't know if she was going to be able to catch up on those others, but she did what she could. And she forgot the things that were behind, and she pressed on in the present. She didn't give up because something had gone wrong. She didn't take the huff, but she pressed on with what was possible for her to do. And Paul says that he had to do that kind of thing. He had to forget the things that were behind and press on with whatever way things were like in the present. And in order to press on, you have to forget what is behind. We have to forget those bad things because we cannot change those things. We can't alter those things at all. And we have to forget those good things because we cannot hold on to those good things. They are behind. And we are to press on forgetting the things that are behind. So Paul teaches about the importance of pressing on. And in order to do that, we have to forget what is behind. Then also in verse 13, he teaches us about reaching forward. And he talks about the one thing that he does. And the one thing that he does not only involves forgetting those things that are behind, but it also involves reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And it's good to not dwell on the past, but more than that is needed. We need to be reaching forward. Paul says, this is the one thing I do. I reach forward to those things which are ahead. And the Lord has marked out our lives for us. And he has things for us to do at each stage in life that we are at. And we need to be pressing on to enter into whatever God has for us to do wherever we are. And it may be that what God has for us to do is what we've done many times before. Or it may be that God has some new thing that he has for us to do. But we are to be reaching forward to those things which are ahead. If we don't press on, and if we don't reach forward, well then things will not just remain the way they are. That's not how it works in life. There is the necessity of reaching forward in order to make genuine progress. One of the sad experiences I had during recent holidays was visiting the manse in Wishaw that we lived in for many years. We weren't inside the building, but we were in the grounds of the manse. And it was sad walking around the grounds and the garden and thinking of the time that we had spent in trying to tame what had been a wilderness when we arrived and subduing that. And presently the manse is used by a volunteer organization. And because of COVID times, I think they haven't really been using it the way they would have been in the past. And the garden had just become totally overgrown, an utter mess and wilderness. It had been left to itself, and it had deteriorated greatly. And it was sad to see that that's the way things were on that particular day. Maybe things will change in the future. But so it is in spiritual things. You have to keep pressing on. You have to keep reaching forward, or the weeds will come in upon you and choke the life out of you. And your soul needs to be like a well-tended garden. If you neglect your soul, well, the weeds will come in. And they'll get worse, and they'll get worse, and they'll get worse. And there'll be no possibility of moving if that continues. And Paul teaches that in the Christian life, we need to be looking forward and we need to be reaching forward. We need to find ways, whatever our circumstances are, of serving the Lord. And in our day and time, we live in a changing world, and we don't know what kind of shape things are going to be in if things ever do settle down. But we need to find ways in which we can serve the Lord in the times that we are in. There are things that we used to do that we can't do, But there will be other things that we can do instead. One of the British medalists at the Olympics was Matt Coward-Hulley. And he used to be a rugby player, and then he broke his back. And you can't play rugby with a broken back. But he took up shooting instead, and he won a bronze medal in the trap shooting at the Olympic Games. And he reached forward to find something that he could do. He left the past behind, realizing that that's gone. He reached forward and he found success as he pressed on. And that's what we need to do as Christians. Sometimes God just closes doors in our lives. And he says, well, you've had that, but that's it, no more. But there'll be something else instead. And we need to be reaching forward to find what it is that God has for us to do next. We need to be ready to reach forward so we can press on in serving the Lord. So Paul says, on the one hand, it's forgetting those things which are behind, and on the other hand, it's reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And then, also within these verses, in verse 14, he speaks about the upward call. Pressing on for Paul meant forgetting those things which are behind. It meant reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And it also means what he says in verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You reach forward with your hands, but you press towards the goal with your feet. It's not enough to stand still and to reach forward. You have to be willing to move your feet. You have to press deliberately forward. And Paul speaks about having our eyes fixed on the goal that is ours and the prize that is ours. And he calls it the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We are to press forward in following Christ, and that means constant effort. Press, press, press. You cannot stop pressing. You've got to press on. And that's what Paul had to do, and that's what he calls other Christians to do. And he reminds us that it'll all be worth it. He reminds us of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Often in the Christian life, we may feel as if we're not really making much progress along the road at all. We may be disappointed with what we ourselves are, what we've achieved, what we've accomplished, what we've been able to do. We may feel as if it's like hiking through a bog. And every step requires huge effort. And so Paul tells us that we're to take heart, and that as we keep pressing on, we're to remember the upward call. We will not forever be trudging through life and wearied by this world. The time will come when we will be lifted out of all of this and we will be changed forever. And until then, we need to press on in what is good. Today, we need to press on. Today, we need to forge ahead. And the prize that is there is a prize that's far more precious than any Olympic medal, far more precious than standing on any Olympic podium. It is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about. And for Paul, it was worth pressing on for that great prize. It was worth forgetting the things that were behind. It was worth reaching forward to the things which are ahead. And it was worth pressing on in order to get closer to the goal and to receiving the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Do you look forward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? Or will there not be any upward call of God in Christ Jesus for you? It's those who are pressing on and following Christ who will progress towards the goal and who will receive that prize. And if you're not pressing on, well, you need to resume pressing on. You need to put that pressure on again, or you're not going to move forward. Paul urges us to be like him and to deliberately press on in the things of Christ. Amen. We sing to God's praise, part of Psalm 84. It's the B version of Psalm 84. We sing the first stanza, and then also 4, 5, and 6. How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me the tabernacles of thy grace. Oh, how I long, yes, faint to see Jehovah's courts, his dwelling place. My heart and flesh with joy draw nigh, as to the living God I cry. The tune is Howard 98. Stanza 4 says, advancing still from strength to strength, they go where other pilgrims trod, till each to Zion comes at length and stands before the face of God. Christian life is a life of progress. It's a life of keeping going. It's a pilgrimage. It's an onward journey. And it's one where there is immense joy and satisfaction. The psalm ends with the words, O Lord of hosts, how blessed is he who places all his trust in thee. So we sing to God's praise, Psalm 84b, the first stanza, and then 4, 5, and 6. We remain seated to sing, and then afterwards I close in the benediction.
The tune is Melita 264.
Tune 264. Okay.
How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me the tabernacles of thy grace. Oh, how I long, yes, faint to see Jehovah's courts, his dwelling place. My heart and flesh with joy drawn as to the living God I cry. Advancing still from strength to strength, they go where other pilgrims trod, till each to Zion comes at length and stands before the face of God. Lord God of hosts, my pleading hear, O Jacob's God, to me give ear. Look thou, O God, upon a shield, the face of thine anointed. presence without thee, I'd rather stand near my God's house than dwell in tents of wickedness. For God the Lord is shield and sun, the Lord will grace and glory give. No good will he withhold from one who does uprightly walk and live. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is he who places all his trust in thee.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.